Jersey Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to a Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, social justice, or the Catholic Church. Today, we have reached a milestone of 175 interviews since Muffin Talk started in 2014. 175 interviews with different guests from the Catholic Church and the wider community. I'm very pleased to welcome back a very special guest in the studio, Bishop Patrick Dunn. Bishop Pat, a warm welcome at Heidemeyer Radio Program.
Thanks, Beate.
Bishop Patrick Dunn is the Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Auckland, and he's also the President of the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference. Bishop Pat, for those of our listeners who are not so familiar with the structures of the Catholic Church, could you please tell us what the purpose of the Bishops Conference is?
Yes, certainly. Most people would know, I guess, that the Church is divided into dioceses, and that's the area of the territory that a bishop is responsible for. So, for example, in New Zealand, there are six dioceses. Me in Auckland, Hamilton, Palmerston North, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin. And in the last 40 or 50 years, there's been a tendency for dioceses and bishops to meet together in conferences, which are often but not always national conferences. For example, there's the great big conference of the United States Catholic bishops. And the New Zealand Bishops Conference is the conference of the New Zealand Catholic bishops. We're also part of a larger grouping of the Federation of Bishops Conferences of Oceania, and we meet every 5 years. But the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference meets twice a year.
And does that also include the bishops who are emeritus bishops?
No, it's the bishops who are in full-time ministry, if you like. So it's the actual bishop plus any assistant bishops, but not the retired bishops.
And every now and then, the New Zealand Catholic bishops publish a statement on certain issues. This year, with the New Zealand general election coming up on the 23rd of September, the bishops published an election statement with a title, Step Out and Vote. Can you tell us more about this document?
Yes, I think you know that every time we have an election, the bishops put out a statement. And I suppose the idea of step out and vote, it in some ways it's a little influenced by Pope Francis, who, speaking recently on several occasions to young people, urged them to get up and get out and try to make an influence in society. I think he was talking to young people, but he said, sometimes it's a tragedy that you find people who retire, in inverted commas, from being involved in society around the age of 20 and then die at the age of 80. And he says that for 60 years, they're not really involved in their hometown or their nation in larger areas of responsibility. They just live their little lives. And Pope Francis was saying to the young, but he's probably saying to all of us, to take an interest in the wider society. So hence that the idea of step out, actually get up and
it's not staying on the sofa and complaining.
That's right. I think he said on one occasion that politics is not a spectator sport, you know, that we should be involved and not just be sort of watching the politicians do their thing.
Yeah. And I looked at this brochure that the bishops published, and on the cover page you have a wonderful, inspiring quote from Pope Francis, which says, "Nothing else will change the world but people who fight for justice and human dignity. Following Jesus demands a good dose of courage and a readiness to trade in the sofa for a pair of walking shoes." Which reminded me of Pope Francis' home country, Argentina, where he experienced the sufferings under a military dictatorship. However, in the bishop's statement, it also says that in today's world, we can't divide between democracies and dictatorships anymore. What do you mean in this context?
I think in this context it's saying that perhaps 20 or 30 years ago, many people might have had a fairly simplistic perspective on how the world was organized and sort of seen, well, there are the democracies, the free nations, and there are the dictatorships, for example, the Soviet or Chinese blocs. And what we're trying to say is that the world in which we live today, in the 21st century, we all know is far more complex, that it's not just the goodies and the baddies, that even in democracies, societies can be very unstable. For example, in the recent election in the UK, where Theresa May won the election, but just with the slimmest of majorities. So she is aware, and we are aware, that that's a pretty divided society and challenging. And we all know the threat of terrorism, which seems to be able to strike anywhere, the Islamic State phenomenon. So I think as bishops we're saying it's not just a tidy division between democracies who are good and dictatorships who are bad, but the world is a much more complex situation.
And because good has many shades. And
exactly.
Then democracy means that people have to participate. And then we are back to what Pope Francis said, we have to step out and make it a good democracy.
Absolutely.
The more we're participating, the better it gets, hopefully.
That's right, yes.
And what are the issues that the bishops consider most important for us to keep in mind when we're going to vote in September?
Well, in our statement for the election this year, we've listed about 10 topics. What happened was we had a meeting and we were saying, like, what's important? What are the issues facing us in New Zealand? And then we tried to list the issues. And some issues will resonate more with some people and other issues will resonate more with other people. But we tried to list what we think are really key issues that we would like people to think about as they approach the election in September. So, for example, it's a pretty traditional Catholic concern that we're looking for pro-life candidates, candidates who share our view that life is sacred from the moment of conception until natural death. And we know that there's quite a move in society in New Zealand for some form of assisted suicide, or euthanasia, which we think is quite a threat to many people in our society. So the pro-life issue, for example, Pope Francis has got a great concern for the environment, so we talk about environmental issues. Another issue we mention is the need for New Zealand to be a welcoming society for people from other countries who come to settle here, that we're not xenophobic, but we try to welcome newcomers, which is a very gospel value. And in our statement, we've listed a whole series of issues that we invite people to reflect upon as they try to think about who they're going to vote for in the coming election.
And all these points, they are quite short, and it's just to give it's a quick statement, and it's like a teaser, so that you have to go and get more information in from different sources. If you want to go deeper, you'd have to go and read in the internet or in the newspapers or inform yourself.
That's right. I think with all the topics we mention, for example, you know, the bicultural New Zealand, our multicultural society, especially in a place like Auckland. Well, it's really right through New Zealand. I think we know Kiwis already think about these issues and they've all got views on them. So most of the teasers, people will say, yes, it is an issue that I think is important, or I've got my thoughts on this. And we would really like people just to even talk to their friends or their family members about some of these issues as the election looms.
And in some areas of New Zealand, as it's for the whole of New Zealand, some issues are more urgent than other issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And for some people, some issues are more important. For example, like one of the issues that's mentioned there is our prison population. Well, that's an issue that I feel very strongly about, because as a bishop, I do visit prisons, and it does concern me just seeing people wasting away years inside a prison. And I feel for many that they would not be a threat if they were outside. And I'm conscious of the cost to their families and to their children and to society just to have them locked away. I can acknowledge the fact that people need to pay for crimes, but are there other ways in which we can avoid this, the harm that imprisonment does for the wider family, for their children, for their spouses?
And then there are quite a few organizations that take care of prisoners who come out of the prison and who help them to avoid reoffending. But then again, they need money to be supported and funded,
these organizations. Yeah, but it's in the interest of society for people who have offended to have them, I mean, they need to be punished in inverted commas, but then the greater interest for society is to have them reintegrated back into society so that they can find work and will be reliable workers and good husbands or wives and or mothers or fathers and be able to care for their children.
So that they are not the whole family is punished for what one person had done.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's tragic sometimes. I do work with families who have someone in prison, and it's tragic. It's not just the person in prison who suffers, it's their family and their children.
And are there enough prison chaplains and people who visit prisons or... So, in a way, we are called to watch out that we don't that we're not judgmental and that we are welcoming people, and even if they've done something wrong, but help them also to get back onto their feet.
Yeah, help them to reintegrate into society, especially if they're not a threat. You know that they're not going to kill someone as soon as they get out. Mm-hmm. And many in prison are not a threat. They have offended, but. What we need to do is to help them to move on with their lives and look to a future that's more hopeful than what might have happened in the past.
One of the steps that we can do is we can vote for somebody who would promote support of prisoners and support of the families of prisoners and who believes in not being too harsh, but...
Yeah, be very wary of candidates who advocate, you know, like lock them up and throw the key away. That's not going to help.
Yes, it doesn't help our society with a... And I like that it says it's a national disgrace, so it's something that we all have to think about.
Yeah, like New Zealand has one of the highest imprisonment rates in the Western world, which is shameful, really. It's something that I think we should all be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. And then I also see that you have mental health as one of the concerns. The well-being of all New Zealanders is a concern to everyone.
Yeah. I suppose it's always a temptation for governments to underfund mental health. And yet the flip side of the coin is that many of us are really concerned and somewhat embarrassed to know that we have such a high, I was going to say youth suicide rate. We have got a high youth suicide rate, but we've actually got quite a high suicide rate full stop, and it's not just young people. So these are issues, mental health issues, that we need to encourage governments to take seriously and to try to find steps to address.
And we don't even know how many people who are struggling with mental health are ending up in prison.
Yeah, that's true. I think we are aware that many people in prison do have mental health issues, but you're right. I think there are many people in society that have these mental health issues that need to be supported and helped.
They have to have the right treatment. And so that's... And what when you have safe society, we want Kiwi children in Mokopuna to grow up in a safe society. And then you... I think it's nice that you put migration, safe society, caring for our planet. It all flows and they're all connected.
All issues that I think New Zealanders are concerned about, that we do want a safe society for our children. And, you know, sometimes you have people who want to legalise sort of legalized drugs, you know, some form of drug like that. But we need to say, well, what are the effects if it all goes wrong? Look at, you know, like the peer epidemic is devastating families and many of our provincial towns. We also know in New Zealand that we have this pretty horrendous record of child abuse. We all beat our breasts when we see some child, an innocent baby, who has died because of neglect. But how many children are there in our society who are being neglected? They don't die, so they don't figure in those statistics, but they're not really being given a good chance in life. And we want a safe society for all New Zealanders, and I think that's what most New Zealanders really do want.
And you have the cultural diversity, so that when we talk about all New Zealanders, it's all people who live in New Zealand. And so the politicians should really look also at all spectrums, at everybody in the country, and not just cater for one certain group.
That's right, that we truly are a multicultural society, and we need to respect the different cultures that are represented here now. I remember, I think it was the previous mayor of Auckland saying that Auckland itself is one of the 10 most ethnically diverse cities in the world. So is New Zealand, one of the most ethnically diverse countries in the world. Some people might see that as a threat, but the flip side of the coin is that we can see it as a huge richness, that we have this great diversity of cultures and languages and peoples. And I love the quote at the foot of the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, sort of capturing the spirit of early America, the early United States, from Emma Lazarus, you know, like, "Send me your poor, send me your huddled masses yearning to breathe freedom." And that open spirit, welcoming all peoples, has helped to create probably the most powerful nation in the history of the human race. And it would be lovely if we in New Zealand had a similar attitude of welcome for all, that we build a new nation.
A new home, a new nation. And the other day I read an article about elections reminding us that we should look at the success in a critical way. Because when we think of the whole society, what is success for some might be might turn others into victims. And it's certainly not easy to choose between the different candidates. But what do you recommend for someone who wants to vote, who believes in democracy and says, "Yes, I do have to vote, but I don't know whom to vote for"? How can you help him to find a decision? To say, it's pray or...
Yeah, I think we all struggle to know who to vote for, and that's part of the point of this statement that we've issued, is that we acknowledge it is difficult, and what we have to do is to try to work out what are the issues that seem to be really important for me, and then in my particular electorate, who is the best candidate, and what is the party that I would like to support. And no candidate and no party will tick all the boxes of my concerns. So, and that's where the struggle comes. You think, well, you know, I like this about this candidate, and but I don't like this particular side of that person. And same as we go through all the candidates that are available. So it is a struggle, but I think the challenge that Pope Francis is issuing to us and that we've tried to encapsulate in the statement is we still have to try to do something, get up off the couch. We're never going to have a candidate who pleases us 100% or a party that we think is perfect. Mm-hmm. But which is the one that I would like to give my vote for? And if we can, each of us can make that struggle, and it is a struggle, it's a challenge, then... We can play our part in helping to create what we believe might be a fairer and a better society.
New Zealand uses the mixed member proportional voting system to elect the House of Representatives, the so-called MMP. And some voters, they might think, oh, well, we'll punish the party and I'm not participating in the elections. But they don't realize that with a system based on percentages, somebody who doesn't vote, in fact, votes for all parties equally. And there must be one party or the other that you like more or less.
Yes. I think that the decision not to vote is a bit of a cop-out, that we don't live in a perfect world and no one lives in a perfect electorate, but the challenge is to try to make a decision that will be beneficial for the future of our nation. And the decision not to vote is a cop-out.
So it would be important for parishes and church groups to talk about the election, to talk about the different issues without putting anybody in a certain direction.
That's right. I think everyone has the right to make his or her own decision, but it is important that we do discuss what are the important issues for New Zealand as we face the election in September.
Because when you prepare, I remember the last election, I spent hours and hours reading all the different statements of the different parties and try to tick what I liked and what I didn't like. It's a lot of effort. So if you discuss in a group, if each one has like prepared a few of the parties, then they can talk about it and in the end hopefully make up their mind according to their conscience.
That's right. And the other thing we are encouraging people to do is to actually approach the candidates or go to meetings where the candidates are gathered and ask the questions that are important for me and find out which candidate seems to be the most appeal.
And I remember Pope Paul VI, he proclaimed in 1965 that we should learn to become actively involved in various community organizations, open to discourse with others, and willing to do their best to promote the common good. And you also mentioned the common good in the statement. But keeping this in mind, I think that the bishops have given us a really helpful resource and so that we can consider what is the most relevant in our society here in New Zealand. And if they have any issues that they would like to add, they can always add it in the discussions.
Absolutely.
So I hope that many people will read it. And so how is this brochure available? How can you get the brochure?
Probably the simplest way for people is just to Google Catholic Church New Zealand or something like that, and you'll get access to the statement. We are distributing hard copies, certainly through our parish networks, but it is available online, and we would welcome anyone who is concerned for the election in September and would like to think, well, what are the important issues for me? This statement might be a help. You know, you might say, yes, that, you know, I believe in this, and this, you know, and who's going to represent me most effectively in the next parliament.
And as you said here, you quoted Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So we'll have to have a vision, and also to remember that when people are struggling, that can be temporarily, and then if there's help available, you can turn people around.
That's right. And we all have had that experience in our own lives, I think, haven't we? Difficult times, but we cling to the vision and move through the difficult times and look to the future with hope.
Yeah. In our Mercy Spirituality Centre, we have once a year an intergenerational forum. And this year we also had the topic election and how to promote election and getting young people to vote. And some people said, well, why don't we talk more about it in the schools, or why don't we have a lower age to vote? But then the young people said, no, that's not good. I wouldn't like to have anybody who is 16 to vote for the candidates. They would only do what their parents say or what their peers say.
That's an interesting perspective,
so yes. We had really good conversations about it. And I think that can be also part of the discussion on the election. And the main thing is that you talk about it, you are aware, and that in a democracy we have a choice. Mm. And that's the difference to me, to a dictatorship. There are no elections.
That's right, that's right. And I think in many of our schools, as the election looms, especially in the senior classes, teachers will be encouraging the older students just to think, you know, like, what are the issues? Because the time for them to vote will be just around the corner.
Yeah, 23rd of September, so we have to remember. Mm. Thank you very much, Bishop Pat, for coming here and for introducing the information about the election, the Step Out and Vote from the New Zealand Catholic Bishops 2017 election statement. And it is online available. I've seen the PDF. I've downloaded it myself in addition to the hard copy. And thank you very much for this resource.
Thanks, Beate. It's a pleasure.
And for our center, what is coming up in the Mercy Spirituality Center. On Tuesday, the 15th of August, we will have a muffin meeting with Catherine Lipsky. The topic will be Words I Am Not Saying. Please come along on 15th of August from 9 a.m. to noon. And on Saturday, the 19th of August from 9:30 to 4 p.m., Chris Telfer and Fran Francis of Solace Spiritual Direction will facilitate a retreat day on Benediction, the Good Words. And on Tuesday, the 22nd of August from 7 to 9 p.m., Robin Kearns will lead an evening of reflection on water. Robin reminds us that water is too easily taken for granted in an area in which it is bottled and traded. So we have some common good, some issues on social justice, and some very spiritual topics coming up in the next weeks. And please remember, we offer Christian meditation on Monday evenings at 7:30 and on Thursdays at 1 p.m. And we have Lectio Divina on Thursdays at 2 p.m. or facilitated by Sister Catherine Waltz-Pickard. And for these regular events, you don't have to register. You can just turn up. But all other events, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or via our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. Wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you, Bishop Pat, for coming.
Thanks, Beate.